KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 19 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today with a high of 56. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Well, after a lengthy period of discussion, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday passed a resolution of support for the development of an affordable housing project on the city's south side. The city's finance committee has discussed the matter twice and recommended the council approve the resolution, which does not commit the city to any financial package or incentives, but will serve to lower the developer's operating costs by allowing them to qualify for low-income housing tax credits through the Iowa Finance Authority, or IFA. Councilpersons Kathy Summers and Sean Schaus are on the council's liaison for the Finance Committee. Summers said last night that the developer, Cohen Esrae, has lowered the construction cost of its planned single-family homes in the area of 22nd and Olive Streets to $100,000, including the land. That means the homes would cost about $88,500, with an assessed value of $85,000. The original proposal called for the city to offer in the developer's application to the IFA a level of financial support of up to $160,000, but the council voted to have the amount of $65,692 written into its resolution, which equates to about $4,105 per housing unit. The resolution also calls for a 10-year $65,000 tax increment financing proposal instead of a 17-year tax rebate as originally proposed. A number of hoops remain before the city actually commits any funds for the project, including public hearings, a minimum assessment agreement, and completion of a developer agreement. Cohen Esrae says if their IFA application is approved, they'll move forward with plans to build 16 three-bedroom, 1,200-square-foot single-family homes. Summer says studies have shown Atlantic could use some more low-income housing. Councilman Dana Halder and Steve Livengood expressed concern about the quality of the homes, their energy efficiency, and the types of studs used, for example, especially in light of how much they will sell for. Many questions still remain about the details of the construction elements, but one thing is known. The homes will be built on concrete slabs and will not have basements because water drainage issues in the area. Summers said the idea behind the project is that the homes will be rental properties for 15 years, but at the end of the 15 years, the homes will be sold. The renters will contribute $50 each month toward the maintenance fund or down payment on home ownership, and in 15 years, the renter could buy the home for about $65,000. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Patrons of the Oakland Riverside School District will be heading to the polls next Tuesday to vote on a $13.3 million bond issue. Jim Sutton, superintendent at Oakland Riverside, said if approved, funds raised by the sale of the bonds would be used for a project that's very similar to one proposed last spring, which calls for the combining of their educational centers located in Oakland, Carson, and Macedonia into one building.
Three locations for our campus makes our operation pretty inefficient, and so the board was looking at a new building to address not only the outdatedness of the buildings, but also the total efficiency of our operation.
And Sutton said getting to this point has been a multi-year process.
I've been here for 8 years in the district, and I know when I came, we were working through really more or less the tail end of a facilities committee who had looked at originally having a recommendation of a K-12 building. And the architects at that time said, you can't afford a K-12 building, so they dropped back in their expectations. But with the changes in the sales tax money and so forth, and the change, frankly, in our assessed valuation, we came to a point where actually we could afford a pre-K-12 building.
He says the Riverside School Board opted for another bond issue attempt because 53% of the voters supported the project the last time around. According to Sutton, there would be a cost savings of close to $250,000 per year by combining the educational centers. Those savings, he said, could be used to pay for some additional teachers.
Riverside schools have been growing. Our exiting classes, our graduating classes, have become smaller, but our classes that are entering in kindergarten, first and second grade, they are becoming larger. So we've had to add some teachers down at that lower end. And for the last couple of years, we've been using stimulus money to pay for those teachers. But that money runs out at the end of this year. We're hoping that if this bond issue passes and we realize those additional dollars, we can use them to pay for more teachers down at the lower end of things where our classes are larger.
And while the total cost of the project is around $21.6 million, Sutton says there will be $2.5 million in savings.
And we have about a little under $6 million that we'll borrow from the remaining sales tax that we have. And neither one of those things will cost the taxpayer any money at all. So what we're looking for is actually an increase of $2.70, which would generate about $13.3 million.
Sutton says if you have a $100,000 home, it'll cost about $11 more per month in taxes, or about $134 per year to pay for the bonds, or about $2.25 more per acre of agricultural land. He says there are only six school districts across the state of Iowa with a lower tax asking rate than the Oakland Riverside District, which is currently at $10.19 per $1,000 assessed valuation. Sutton says with the interest rates at historically low levels, now is the prime time to lock in the bids for any new construction because the builders are being very competitive. At a public meeting held January 23rd, it was pointed out that the district has the money now to build the project as proposed, but it will not be able to have that money if it continues to spend sales tax money to add new roofs and elevators to already outdated buildings that are landlocked, and it will add extra cost to the district in various other ways. Elsewhere in the news, two people were arrested in Atlantic Tuesday. According to the Atlantic Police Department, 21-year-old Dean Stevens of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for simple assault with injury, and 18-year-old Curtis McCoy of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for OWI first offense. Both men were booked into the Cass County jail. The Atlantic PD said also on Wednesday that no injuries were reported following an accident Tuesday morning at West 6th and Palm Streets. Vehicles driven by Kenneth Kelly and Matthew Prawl, both of Atlantic, collided when Kelly attempted to go around Prawl's vehicle while Prawl was making a left-hand turn into a driveway near the intersection. Both vehicles were traveling east on West 6th Street. Kelly was given a verbal warning for prohibited passing. Damage from the collision amounted to $2,500. Police in Red Oak are looking for a man who reportedly broke into a woman's home early Wednesday morning and assaulted her before taking off with an undetermined amount of money. Red Oak police say they received a call around 12:23 a.m. about the incident, which took place in the 300 block of East Elm Street. When officers arrived, they found 27-year-old Tasha Renee Smith of Red Oak suffering from cuts, bruises, and abrasions. Smith was taken by Red Oak Rescue to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital for treatment. Authorities say an investigation determined that a white man in his late 20s or early 30s assaulted the woman after she answered the door and he forced his way in. He also ransacked a bedroom in the home before leaving with some money. Police say the suspect was about 5 feet 8 inches tall with a heavy build and very short hair. He was last seen wearing a gray zip-up type hoodie, black pants, and brown work type boots. The incident remains under investigation. Montgomery County Sheriff's Department was assisted by the Red Oak Fire and Rescue and the K-9 unit. Sheriff's officials say no injuries were reported following a rollover accident Wednesday morning near Elliott. Authorities say a pickup operated by 16-year-old James Leroy Bourne of Red Oak had been traveling north on J Avenue, about a quarter mile south of Highway 48, when he looked down and then looked back up and saw the vehicle was about to enter the west ditch. Bourne overcorrected and lost control of the pickup, which entered the ditch and flipped end over end before landing on its top. That accident happened just after 8 a.m. The vehicle sustained $4,000 damage. There were no charges filed in connection with that crash. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the number of people seeking unemployment aid is down again. Then, as a sign, they say that companies are cutting fewer jobs and likely stepping up hiring. The Labor Department's weekly unemployment applications fell 12,000 to a seasonally adjusted 367,000. The four-week average dropped for the third straight week to its second lowest level since June of 2008. Retailers are reporting mixed sales results for January and a sign that American shoppers are continuing to be cautious about when and where they spend their money in the shaky economy. Of the 12 merchants reporting monthly sales this week, the number of those who beat estimates and those who missed expectations were even, according to a tally by Thomson Reuters. NATO's top official is joining the U.S. and France in calling for coalition forces to transition out of their combat role in Afghanistan by mid-2013. At today's meeting in Brussels, Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said the transition to Afghan security control will continue through mid-2013, with the Afghan army and police gradually taking the lead in all regions of the country. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcement, 64-year-old Sherry Ann Freeman of Menlo died Saturday. Funeral services for Sherry Ann Freeman will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Walter Mordhorst, age 93, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Walter Mordhorst will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. 87-year-old Francis Carter of Audubon died Tuesday. Funeral services for Francis Carter will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Eloise Peterson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Monday. Services for Eloise Peterson will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Bernice Adair, age 91, of Panora, died Monday. Funeral services for Bernice Adair will be held on Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Leroy Rokoltz, age 81, of Glenview, Illinois, and formerly of Adair, died Friday. Graveside services for Leroy Rokoltz will be held Friday at 11 a.m. in the Dalmanutha Cemetery located north of Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Glenn Benfield, age 75, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. A memorial service for Glenn Benfield will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Roger Rubel, age 72, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Roger Rubel will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Hockenberry, England Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And Laura Lillian Landis, age 93, of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Lillian Landis are currently pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. That's a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.